brought forward. So let's just call this opening round.
Round zero, didn't we say?
Round zero. Newtown and Chewell and North Shore's Footy Spotlight. Thanks to Rex Corral Geelong, providing an outstanding motoring experience. Latrobe Terrace, Gordon Avenue and Fine Street. The Shoreys was a tough old season 2023 with one win and a draw, finished on bottom of the ladder, but are looking to improve in season 2024. And their president, Dale Purcell, has been good enough to join us. Purse, good afternoon to you.
How you going, Kiki?
I'm always frightened when we get you on air because I just don't know where it's going to go.
Too loud or am I right?
You're right.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
You're okay. Yeah. You're hearing yourself really. Buzz is going to adjust your headphone volume. Is that better?
All right. Is that all right?
Are we on air?
Can you hear me?
How are you, Perth?
Good, mate. Good.
All right. Talk to us about your footy club. You've had some departures and some very good footballers leave, but you've been able to do some recruiting as well. You've got some new faces. Who can you talk about that we're going to call this afternoon that we're going to like in a North Shore jumper?
Yeah, we're a bit unfortunate to lose a couple of guys that made the decision a bit later than what we thought, especially young Sam Witherden down to back to Bowen Edge. He was to and froing, and we're hoping to get one more year out of him because he's actually a quality bloke and a quality player. So
I don't think he's playing much footy this year.
No, I see he's had a back injury. I talked to him last week down at the footy. I went and watched Bowen Edge, and he's had surgery and probably out for 3 months, and he's thinking that might be enough not to come back and just go overseas like he was planning and come back fresh next year. Maybe we can get him back.
We can only ask the question, but Marley King, Nathan Arbon, James Chadwick, Eddie Trupp, among some of the newcomers that we're going to see. Some of these guys have got some state league experience, which hopefully translate to good GFL footy.
Yeah. I've seen a little bit of Marley in the practice matches when we played a couple at home, but you do a bit of running around when the practice matches and you kind of tend to get things set up. But he looks like he knows what he's doing with the ball. He seemed to be pretty cool and calm under pressure. Nathan Arbor comes with a bit of a reputation, but he'd had a little knock on the shoulder, so we haven't seen him in the Praco, so I think he's right, but we just want to make 100% sure he'd be right for the games when it started. But he seems to come with a bit of feedback from his mate, something Darwin had told me. He's a pretty smooth operator, so be interested to see how he goes. And Eddie
Trump,
he's a good, interesting character. Been over and played been in England for the last 3 or 4 years and played with Windy and Lauderdale, and I was impressed with him when he came over, and he's played both practice matches, and he's got a bit of that Dustin Fletcher about him, you know, one of them awkward long reach just a go gadget type of man. But
is he a redhead?
No, I don't think Windy likes redhead, so we don't try and recruit too many of them.
Not many players have been drafted from the London Swans, Purse.
But he organised. I was goal umpire in one of the practice matches for a little bit, and he very good talker and organised. He's a bit like my old mate Simon Ruddock when he used to play fullback. He used to organise the troops and tell us when we were just straying away from our teammates too far. And this bloke seemed to have the same role. We seemed to be able to organise them and run it all. But he'd be interesting. But yeah, he's a good fella. And young. Who's the other one there?
You got Andrew Taylor.
He's a young ruckman, but he'll probably, with Kobe coming back we'll get out of Kobe, but gives us a chance to throw him up forward or back to give us a bit of height, because we are a very tall side, so that'll be handy. And young Chadwick gives a bit of pace there off the wing. He's done a little bit of work over in WA as well. He's friends with Cam Anderson, so they'll add a little bit of speed. So we probably picked up a little bit of speed but lost a little bit of height in the wash. So interesting mix, unfortunately.
We spoke to Windy during the week, Person, and it must be great to have a person of his stature and character being the coach to start with. Yeah. He obviously, like, he would demand respect just because of who he is with the new players in the team.
He's very good with the boys. They all love him, respect him, and it's good to have around, and we're very lucky to get him and his brother back involved, and you know, the club means a bit to them, and their friendships have probably carried, but it'd be touch and go how much further that can go. I've got 4 years out of him out of a friendship. I don't know if he'll push a fifth year, but we'll see. We'll see how we go. But he loves it. The boys love him, and he likes wrestling with him and drinking, fighting with him after the end of the season, all that type of stuff. He still shows him who's the boss and thinks no one can take him down. So I think that'll probably happen at the end of this year as well. He'll probably take a few on and see who's... I think in the contract negotiations, I think he says who can beat him in an arm wrestle can go, and if they don't, they have to re-sign. So hopefully he's fit enough to keep arm wrestling for about 40 blokes at the end of the year.
We're speaking with North Shore President Dale Purcell. He's a former teammate of his in Matthew Kershaw.
Purse, just on your Northern Stars, the juniors, how's things going in that space?
Yeah. I think we're going to be... We've probably lost one team this year, but I don't think we're going to get the 14s team up, unfortunately. But the girls are going to go ahead again, the 16 girls, but I think they're going to help out Bell Park. I think they're a bit light on, and we're a bit light on there. When we're probably going to be about 10 each or something like that. So I think they're going to merge and have a team together, which is good for the girls to be able to stay together. And, well, I thought the girls would be a bit of a struggle because of, you know, there's probably a dozen of them or more that never play footy for, so they come and have a look and see if they liked it or not, and obviously a few wasn't their cup of tea, but that's good. And 10s and 12s look like they're going to be all good, and Oz kick. So we're right, we've got big Chewy, as I see out here lumbering around, he's coaching one of the teams. Yeah. Timmy Ivamy's taken over, going to run the Oz kick for us and get a few of the boys that he played with and that to get their kids and get on board to help him.
Yep.
And one of the fathers from the under-10s that helped Chewy last year is going to do the look after the under-10s, and one of his daughters that plays in the 16s are going to give him a hand. So we're right there. It's just, yeah, very tough kick out there to get kids playing footy or anything. I talk to the schools and they do a thing of popular, what sports are popular, and AFL sits sixth on the ladder, so it's a bit hard to drag them if you're that low on the ladder. So we're hoping AFL Vic, when we're having talks to them about the project that we had Gil there a few years ago, hoping they can pump some kind of enthusiasm and some kind of project to get footy more in the face of these kids, and maybe it become higher up the ladder. If they can make it more popular, then it kind of flows on for us, you know. And
just get more kids. Just your pre-season form, who have you played your practice matches against?
We played Clunes the first game.
Yep.
We had a link there, a couple of the boys have gone there and on the coaching panel Clunes over the last few years, so we're supposed to go up there and play and spend the weekend up there and make it like a training camp type of thing, but I think Clunes, they end up getting a cricket final there, so it got reversed back to our ground, so that didn't work out what we wanted there. And then, yeah, as normally happens every now and again, we're only bringing so many down, so it ended up being a six-quarter game. It was not ideal for us, but it was a hit-out anyway, and then had a pretty good hit-out. We played St Albans before Easter, which is not a bad little hit-out for us there, and all the boys had a good run, and I think they're happy with how they went, the coach was, how they went in the main game, and see how we go today. Give it a shot.
No trips to Tassie?
No, I think... I don't think my wife wanted me to go back again. I think the timing and when it was and with Tassie, how it was seated with their competition and just the costings and all that this time, I think it was going to be a bit out of the realms of being able to fund it as much as we did the last few years. So that was the only reason behind it.
Purse, we spoke with you, coach, during the week on the podcast Beyond the Boundary, Jason and I, and we spoke about the restructure that's been mooted, and the restructure will be, as we've touched on, non-mandatory promotion for the Bellarine Club that over a two-year cycle finishes with the most points in a club championship format. If one chooses to go up, then the bottom placed team would go down from out of the GFNL, which right now, based on the fact you don't have A and B grade netball, you're behind the eight ball from the start. What have you made of the process that's taken place, and what have you made of the document that's been put forward that has been now settled on?
I thought you might ask me this.
So you'll have an answer.
I don't know which way to go about it.
Just remember, we're on air.
Yeah. You've got a 3-second delay, or you don't have that. No, I think the communication has been better than other times they've tried to do this thing, especially with all the forums and that we had at Buckley's and whatnot. Probably surprised with what they put out in the paper, because that never got shown to any of the clubs, that proposal. The last one they said, this is what we're going with. None of the clubs got to see that document after four or five or how many changes there was. So I think that took a few clubs by surprise, because I think everyone thought after our last kind of get-together that the numbers were not favouring any changes, and then everyone thought that would be the way it went. So I think to come out with that was a bit surprising. I don't think a lot of clubs even bothered to respond to the last thing, so they probably put something there without all the endorsement of clubs. But yeah, it's 2 years away, and there's a lot of water to go under the bridge yet, I suppose, before it could actually happen, or if it does happen, I suppose.
It involves 2024, so right now you're getting no points for A and B grade netball because you're not fielding them. Does that put pressure on your club to have A and B netball next year, so at least you're gaining something points-wise?
Yeah, we're just trying to build Kingy, you know. Like, we've got another team up this year, so we're getting to C grade, so we could build, you know, we don't want to go over the top and just force and just go out and bloody get two teams there just for the sake of 2 years, you know, and not build on what we're trying to achieve. So I think we'll just keep pushing along, and if the girls can get a B grade next year, if they can get two teams, it'll be good. But if they can get another one, we'll just have to go with it and just slowly build what we can and see what happens in the wash, you know.
Is your long-term future in the GFNL?
I hope so. I believe so. I think if we weren't, I'd be up to the people. We put it to the club to decide, but I couldn't see the sense in us running down to Port Arlington or Anglesey or doing that trip every second weekend. I wouldn't have thought that would make much sense.
So that is a reality, though, in 2026. If the team that finishes top of the Ballerine at the end of 2025 says, we want up to the GFNL and you're the team that's coming down,
yeah,
and you don't want to play in the Ballerine, where are you playing? Are you going to the district league?
Oh, that's an option, isn't it?
Have you spoken to them?
No, not yet. I haven't worried about it because I'm not too convinced that this will get through.
Okay.
No, I'm not too worried about it at this stage. There's a lot of things going on, and I just don't believe that it'll happen.
Are you thinking that because you think the Ballerine clubs are not interested in coming to the GFL?
I just think a lot of the clubs,
yeah,
aren't happy with, you know, as I said, the last meeting, I think there was like a 17 or 6 or 17-5 for and against kind of motion. I think the 17 still want to be heard, and plenty of water, as I said, but bit to go out, bit to pay out before it's all rubber stamp. They might have patted themselves on the back a bit early, people running the show.
Have you spoken to Cario at all? Obviously, you've got the Northern Stars in alignment with them. Is there, down the track one day, the demographic has changed, and as you touched on, you admitted yourself that the sixth most popular sport is Australian rules football in the northern suburbs, in one of those school polls.
Yep.
That's not sustainable for your football netball club, is it? It's not sustainable for Cario down the track. It's probably not sustainable for North Geelong.
It's probably not sustainable for many. Nearly a lot of clubs out there will probably fall under the same umbrella, you know, out that side of town. But Lara will be right. Yeah, they're a pretty big town now and got plenty of development, so they should be. But all the ones in between Lara and West are probably in the gutter a bit with all being able to sustain. That was probably the idea behind the Northern Stars, to try and get people off the, not thinking that we're after robbing clubs, actually to get maybe get 200 kids in the one area, all staying in the same area, and then whatever happens when they're 19 happens, you know. But some clubs didn't think that way. I think, I'm not sure, a bit narrow-minded or short-sighted. It's just thinking that clubs were trying to rob them to get their juniors, but that's not what we're about. We're actually about trying to get as many kids to be able to play in their own area, and then work out where they want to play when they get old enough to pick a team. When they're 19, they can pick wherever they want to go, I suppose.
Is your 100th anniversary in 2026 influencing some of your decision-making?
No, really, I haven't. We haven't even discussed it, to tell you the truth, Kingy, what went on with this. Kind of hit us as a good, you know, being good administrators to drop it on Thursday night before the Ballerines' first game right on Easter.
Well, makes it hard to... They did say they were going to release it before the first game. So
yeah, right on the first game. They knew they had a meeting Monday, so I don't know how it takes to Thursday night to make the announcement when you had a meeting Monday night. But
they did. In their defence, they had a couple more meetings after that.
Well, they knew the answers. But anyway, you could defend them if you want, Kingy. I'm not. But I'm still going back to the meeting. Kingy, were you there at Buckley's at when... Simon Farrell said, do we get a say or is it a dictatorship?
No, the media weren't allowed in that one.
Yeah, and then Ed stood up and said, I find that offensive to Simon, and then said, if the clubs don't want it, we won't push ahead with it. So Ed's got to remember what he says in meetings sometimes, Ed. He's got to be a bit... he's got to remember in the open forum what you say sometimes.
Right. Let's move on to something positive.
You've wound him up now.
Absolutely. But we're going to move in.
Just a little poke in the bear.
We know where Dale sits.
Yep.
It's good.
No. I'm not for or against it or whatever. I'm just saying you've got to do what all the clubs want to do. I would have thought if I was the administrator, you want all the clubs on side. And they've made a few decisions lately, you know. Like the Friday night move, the Friday grand final wasn't all one-way traffic like they're saying in the media. I think that was a bit overstated. The majority won it. And the girls' competition, the Friday, Saturday, hasn't really won a lot of friends over. So they're not winning the battle at the moment if you want to get in one song to push forward, I would have thought.
Tell me when a sports administrator can ever win. They can never win.
Oh, listen to me and that's a starting point, maybe. No, you've got to make decisions, but I think you've got to get everyone involved. If you can make clear decisions on what needs some changes need to happen, obviously. But I think I think Wendy touched on it in your podcast. If they get everyone in the room and sat around and threw some ideas together, you can get everyone. If you get everyone bored and on favour with it, then there's no hassles. You know, everyone's had a say and everyone's agreed to what they like or going forward. That'd be the way I'd attack it anyway if I was involved.
All right, we might move on from that because we have discussed it probably beyond its lifespan, but there is more to play out with all that for the North Shore Football Netball Club. I want to talk to you about Australia Day this year. It was a fantastic day for your footy club when John Bligh was recognised with an Australia Day honour. Yep. There was a gathering pre-planned with him already for, I think, for his 80th birthday, is that right?
Yes, it was his 80th, I think.
And it turned out actually being a bit of a celebration as well for the OAM. I'm not sure whether you were there, but I know there was a big throng of...
I rolled in for they said Bomber was putting a few beers on, you got to get in there. It's Kershaw now, you don't get many out of John. So they say John's shouting, you got to get in and make up for all the times that we hit us over when we were kids. But yes, it's very exciting. A big day. There was quite a few there. I didn't stay all day. I stopped in for a couple of hours, but very emotional. John got a very tear in his eyes, and he had Gordon Hines there as well, which was good because Gordon got one earlier, the year before, 6 months before. So the two of them there, and with all the blokes that come through that kind of 70s, 80s, and a few in the 90s there. There's a good sprinkling of all the ages coming through that were at Bomber in Johnny's backyard. So it was a good afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's here today, Bomber. I see him there with his... he's actually got his North Shore cap on. I'm guessing he's hiding his Essendon allegiance after their performance.
Probably not happy with the Bombers right at the minute, so...
I reckon he'd give him a stern dressing down after last night's performance.
He might think the clash with the Newtown jumper, he might want to get anyone confused who he's barracking for.
This is a good point. Purse, always a pleasure to talk footy with you. You're always forthright and to the point. There's a lot to play out. We'll stay in touch. Obviously, the next couple of years are going to be interesting to see what unfolds, and it may impact your footy club, footy netball club. It may not, but if it does, well,
there we go.
We'll talk more. Good luck this afternoon.
Easier up here, being on the radio than actually being the president.
How much longer are you going to be pres for?
I reckon this might be it.
Is this, what's this, number 8, year 9?
12.
12?
Wow.
You can't. I don't mind being the president. I don't mind running the footy show club and all that, but the fighting with the hierarchy and the council and state government for funding, and as you see at the paper now, there's a bit of a hoo-ha between, well, it's not Newtown's fault, I suppose, or Bell Park's, but that just becomes tiresome, you know what I mean? You shouldn't have to do with that. If you just want to help, go back and help your club where you played at by getting involved and doing a few things, you shouldn't have to be dealing with that kind of stuff. I think that should become made a bit easier when you want to do updates or anything like that.
Purse, thanks for joining us. Good luck today.
All right, mate. Talk to you after the game.
We look forward to it. Dale Purcell joining us on K-Rock Footy as part of Footy Spotlight. Thanks to Rex Gorrell providing an outstanding motoring experience. We're going to take a break.